should be passing through here again this weekend. They, of course, they were here about a month ago. They were en route to Florida, and they'll be coming back through, and they should be here again this weekend. Of course, I love my folks, and I love to visit with my folks, and I'm very excited because we should, Lord willing, have a pianist for Sunday anyway. So my mother, of course, plays a piano, so we'll look forward to that. Anyway, so, you know, I'm going to be reading here in just a moment from John chapter 14, but for several weeks here, we've gone through the Bible and taught on leadership, kind of what it is. Of course, it's the ability to lead people and guide them into the right direction. Of course, leadership can work both ways. It could be positive or it could be negative. But here, we definitely want to train leaders to be positive and have a positive effect on people, on children, on teenagers, on families. We've used some biblical examples for the last several weeks. We've also discussed the fact that leadership, of course, can be positive and negative. And also, we've used Joseph as an example. Very first week, I think I talked on Joseph on the task that Jacob gave him. Obviously, this was a big task. This was a big job. Jacob loving his son Joseph so very much, and there was a close bond there between the two. And of course, we know the story how his brothers, they left. They wanted to get away from Joseph. And when Joseph was asked to take this task, I don't think he wanted to. I'm sure in his heart of hearts, it was one of them things that he would have liked to. Thank you very much, Cody. I'm sure that it was something he didn't want to do, but because I believe he's been taught well, and boy, he's just got a good story. I love teaching and preaching on Joseph, but because he was taught well, he went ahead and did it. So he led himself. I think somewhere along the way, he had to lead himself instead of listening to the flesh and saying no and rebelling and different things. I believe that there was a point that he had to lead him, a teenage boy, if you will. And let me just say this, I'm not going to get on anybody, but I know when I was a teenager, I used to, it's very easy to get distracted, all right? And I would ask every teenager, every young person, all right, if you can. Now, I understand some of you young kids, you're going to draw and different things like that, but especially you older kids, sixth grade on up and different things, it's a good time for you to pay attention. I'd ask you to put everything away, put them in your pockets, put the cell phones away. I know it's a temptation, but I mean, preacher, I love you, and I want to help you tonight, okay? And as I always do, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, so I would ask you to look right up here and just put any pens or anything. Now, again, I know I was also a child. Believe it or not, I was a child. I know that sometimes young children need to draw different things, but you older kids, I should say, help me out by looking right up here, all right? I want to really help you. But anyways, here was a young man, Joseph, you know, a young man, teenage lad when he went on this journey, but he led himself. Of course, we talked about Moses' mom and many, many different people. Oh, it's so inexhaustive. I mean, we could talk about so much, so many leaders, and I thought maybe I was going to come to the end of it, but just Lord just kind of kept working on my heart here a little bit here, and we've also discussed the fact that there are many leaders here tonight. If you're a sibling, all right? If you have younger children in the home, all right, you are a leader, okay? And by the way, what they do, what you do, will determine much of how your children, or how the younger siblings, I should say, will treat mom and dad. If you want to treat mom and dad wrong, if you want to treat godly authority wrong, generally, they do it worse. Generally, they will go ahead and treat mom and dad worse. So we have leaders here. You ought to use your leadership role, teenagers. You ought to use your leadership role, kids, or even adults. We ought to use it for positive, to try to lead people to right and guide and direct them for right. So there's leaders here tonight. Parents, we're leaders. Bosses, supervisors, bus captains, we are leaders. Sunday school teachers. And our desire ought to be that our followers make it. But sadly, they all don't. You know, the goal of every leader is trying to convince his followers to follow his leadership and champion his cause and believe in his mission. That's what Jesus was doing. You know, Jesus, of course, he worked with his 12 disciples there. All right, I got this on here. He worked with his 12 disciples, And of course, his disciples knew what the purpose of Jesus and what was going to happen. He had taught them. Jesus had taught them well. And of course, if we look through, I'm not going to read through John 12 and John chapter 12 and John chapter 13 tonight, but of course, it deals primarily, John chapter 13 deals with the Last Supper. And Jesus, at that particular time, you know, he was troubled. You know, Jesus was not overjoyed at the fact that within a few hours, within a few days, he was going to go to a cross. He was not on top side there. But yet he went ahead and he taught his disciples at the Last Supper. He taught them how you are to treat one another after I am gone. And he taught them many, many different things still. And also he foretells the betrayal of one of the 12. He also goes ahead and foretells that Peter is going to go ahead and deny him. All this while Jesus was not on topside. All that, you know, he was foretelling the people he loved. He loved Judas. Jesus, he loved Peter. And how it hurts Jesus to go ahead and know that, man, one of the 12 that Jesus personally trained and worked with is going to go ahead and betray him, and Peter is going to go ahead and deny him. Jesus was already not excited. I mean, yes, he knew the cause of which was going to come about. He knew that he was going to have to be going to that cross and the purpose of his life. But yet, he was foretelling in John chapter 13 several things that could really even bring his spirit even more low. But then we get to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'll read several verses here, and of course it's talking about the troubled hearts of these disciples. Verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus saying, hey, listen, disciples, you're a little bit discouraged now. You're wondering, okay, who's going to go ahead and betray you? Who is going to go ahead and deny you? You're sitting there, you're troubled right now, and he's and of course the questions are there. Jesus, what's happening here? And but don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And if I go, he says, to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. Everything's going to be all right. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Now here's a doubting Thomas. He says, okay, what's going to happen? We know where you're going, but what's going to happen to us, if you will? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, he's talking to the disciples here, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Lord, go ahead and show us God the Father. Show us. We'll be satisfied then. Jesus saith unto him, in rebuke, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Boy, that's pretty sad when you think about it. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, Jesus, again, is reminded, listen, everything's all right, disciples. All right, Jesus, again, the goal of every leader is, and Jesus was trying to fulfill this goal, trying to convince his followers to follow his leadership. Okay, disciples, listen, I know your heart's troubled. You're kind of confused right now. You're hurting. You're mourning. And, of course, if we turned over to John chapter 14 right here, in verse number 60, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comforters. I will come to you. Now, listen, disciples, I'm not going to be here serving with you anymore. My earthly ministry is going to be done. Yes, you are troubled, but you know what? I'm going to leave another comforter with you. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to leave someone with you. Now, listen, disciples, you have learned a lot working with me. You have learned to work with people, and the work must go on, he's saying. Okay, the work needs to keep on going. The Bible says, and I'm going to read this, I just read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. He's saying, listen, you know what? There's some greater works ahead of you. You don't quit because I'm going to go ahead and go to the cross. Don't quit. You just need to keep on following what I've been trying to teach you. Okay, you need to go ahead and go lead others to Christ. You need to keep the ministry going, if you will. And so Jesus, of course, his goal was to go ahead and convince his followers and disciples to follow his leadership and champion his cause, rally around the cause and believe in his mission. You know, I wish as a leader that I could say I have 100% success rate in everyone that followed me. I don't. None of us do. I wish I could go ahead and say, I mean, I have led teenagers, and I have led bus kids and different things, and I have gone ahead and led different things. God has allowed me to do some certain things, some things in life, and I wish I could say that all 100% of the youth group that I used to youth pastor all went off and served God. That does not happen. That's not even in the real world, if you will. Now, I would go ahead and pray for them. I would go ahead and do everything I could to try to help them. And you can tell. I could always tell as their leader, as their youth pastor, I could read my followers or my youth or my teens' mind. I could see on their face, if you will. I could see whether they really are excited, or I could just tell by their countenance whether they really, really did desire the things of God. As a matter of fact, I can go ahead and tell, and you may not believe me, but I can go ahead and tell if a teenager is having trouble with rock music, because it's written all over their face. And, that joy that that God should give you, the joy of the Lord that God should give you, it's not written there. Okay, it's not all about that teenager. It's not written all over that teenager. I have learned this, but I wish I could say that all the people that I have been able to lead through the years, through the last 10 years of ministry, that they all went off and served God. No, it didn't happen that way. And let me just stop and say this. It won't happen for you either. You teach a Sunday school class. You lead that Sunday school class. You ought to try to convince them to go ahead and follow your leadership and try to rally around the cause and try to rally around the mission, if you will. But the truth of the matter is you will not get everybody. You're not going to. I mean, does that mean that the ones that want to backslide, does that mean that the ones that don't want to listen, does that mean that the ones that don't want to have anything to do with church, that you forget about them? No. I would always go ahead and invite them. I would always go ahead and say, I'm praying for you. I would always go ahead and give them opportunity. But the truth of the matter is, when the rubber met the road, it came down to my basic core. Okay, it came down to the core that I got to work with. Now, by the way, the core was the majority. Okay, the minority were those, believe it or not, the minority in those areas that I was able to lead. Now, it didn't start out majority, okay? That core that God gave me, if you will, it did not start out majority, okay? It was the other way around. It was like maybe a few teenagers who were my core, and then the most were kind of just sitting on the outskirts and so forth, and not really kind of listening to the wrong music and didn't care about God, but they just kind of were there. They had that indifferent look. But the truth of the matter is when they saw their leader, their youth pastor, love them and tell them that I cared about them and different things, you know what? Over here, when they saw that this group here, this small group was having a good time in Christ, and we can have a good time in Christ. When they saw that their lives were being changed through preaching and they were applying their life according to this book, and they came for me to me for counsel, and they listened to the preacher and allowed godly influences to lead them. You know what? When this group over here went ahead and saw that this group was excited about the things of God, and when this group over here saw that this group, the small core, if you will, were excited about soul winning and were excited about working on a bus route, and we're excited about this. Let me tell you something. A lot of these over here began to think, you know what? I'm not as happy as that. They are happy. And you know what? But as a leader, I never went ahead and said, okay, I'm going to push these away. I'm going to just work with these. Yes, I worked with these. These were my core, but I always made sure that this crowd over here knew that the door was open. I always did.
I always did. And let me tell you something. By the time that I was done youth pastoring, okay, I'm using this as an example tonight because it does apply to any leadership role, whether it be a Sunday school class. By the time I was youth pastoring, you know what? You know where the minority was? Over here. The ones that really had that indifferent look, and the ones that would sit in church and not really care, and you know, so forth, they were the minority, but the majority actually were over here. They would go out, you know, I'd have 20 teenagers of my 30, if you will, go out soul winning on Wednesday. Okay, just for an example. I'd have 15 or 20 of them same teenagers show up Sunday night at 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock was preaching service. It would show up Sunday night, 6 o'clock, for the youth group hour. I would have most of them, one of our last teen activities, our house was packed out with teenagers. Remember that? I mean, we went on this this hayride, haunted hayride, if you will, you know, and it really, that it went downhill, man. It was, you know, I like scary stuff. It was not scary at all. It was not, you know, but you know what? But it didn't affect the teenagers in it. It didn't affect the spirit at all. I thought, oh, man, this thing was a bomb. You know, people had told me, hey, Pastor Weeks, this won't be a bad activity. It's cheap. It's kind of scary and different things. You get on a hayride out in the middle of the woods and different things and so forth. And, you know, it really was not very scary at all, okay? And I thought, oh, great. But you know what? You know what? I had them teenagers come back. That was the best activity I ever had. You know why? Because they'd like to be together. And the truth of the matter is, there was a core over here that, you know, oh, I don't do that stuff. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know what? But they don't have the joy over here. What I'm trying to say, you work with that core. You love on that core. You preach that core. You give them the word of God. And you let them know sincerely that you care about them. It will grow. And these people over here, they kind of become really the unpopular crowd. They really do. And really, they miss out. Now, I wish that they would go ahead and come over here. And I did everything I could through different things. I'd write letters. I'd say, hey, man, I'm thinking about you, praying for you. I would do everything I could to be as personable to this crowd as I could. But never, you know what I'm trying to say? You will not always have 100% success rate. You just won't. It just doesn't happen that way. In church situation, you just don't always, you have people come and go, and basically you work with the core. I used to, I remember talking to my preacher when I first joined the ministry. I went ahead and told him, man, I want to reach everybody I could for Christ, and I still do, by the way. I was excited. I was just out of Bible college, and man, I want to see the youth group grow, and I mean the different things that he put me over, the bus ministry and different things. And I just wanted to see some things happen and different things, and I became so disappointed when I felt like, man, I wasn't reaching everybody. Some of the teenagers were going down over the wayside. Some of these people that you reach out to, boy, it's nothing more disappointing when you go ahead and invest in somebody. And you really think, man, they're going to make it. Boy, they're going to make it. Then all of a sudden, the devil gets a hold of them. I remember, boy, when I first joined the ministry within my first year, I mean, I was excited and some things were happening and the youth was growing and the bus ministry was growing, different things. And I remember working with a teenager. Man, I mean, she was going to go somewhere. She was going to go ahead and do something great for God. And I remember getting so disappointed because you heard that she went out into the world and different things and wasn't coming back and just didn't want anything to do with church and different things. And I remember going to my preacher's office, just sat back and said, man, you know, I lost one. You know, I lost. He says, no, the word of God will not return void, first of all. Number two, you've got to understand, you know, wisdom, you know, telling me, a little green guy, that you know what, you won't get everybody. Now, again, by the way, let me just stop and say this. That doesn't mean you stop thinking about them and praying for them. You do everything you can right up until the very last moment, if you will, to try to reach them and pull them in. But the truth of the matter is, oftentimes you just got to work with your core. You know, and Jesus, I think, constantly had to just remind his fellow disciples, you know what, and convince them what this is all about and show them the big picture. As a leader, you're going to need to understand, you must understand that not all will believe in the mission that you're serving God, in the mission of serving God. As a leader, I kind of have a typo there, okay? As a leader, we're going to need to understand, I kind of talked about this a moment ago, but that not all will believe in the mission of serving God. For instance, think of Jesus. You know, he personally trained Judas. Okay, he personally trained Judas, and yet Judas went ahead and betrayed him. And Jesus loved Judas. He loved his disciples. Think of when Peter went ahead and denied Christ. Okay, we could read these passages. They're right there in John chapter 13 and 14. John chapter 13 and about the betrayal of Judas and the denial of Peter. Think of the dying thief on the cross. You know, Jesus, okay, what I'm trying to say, just like we don't have a 100% success rate, you know, Jesus didn't either. Jesus tried. He wanted his best for these men that worked with him. He wanted them to go ahead and thrive, but, you know, yet Judas died and he went to hell. A leader must understand that you need to work with a core group. Those who choose to do right and live for God. You know what? Like I said, build your ministry, if you will, around that core. Okay, if it's a Sunday school class, I remember several years ago, a preacher wanted me to start a couples class. And he gave me some prospects. And he says, what you do is you get your core and you build around that. Okay, you build around that. He says, right, here's a few names of the church. Here you go. You go ahead and have something going on in your class. And here you go. Now you build around that. And so you need to learn to work with your core. Jesus went ahead and said, okay, I had 12. And one went ahead and went his way and betrayed me. Now, you know what? There's still 11 there. The core was still there. And the 11 there needed to go ahead and decide that we're going to go forward for Christ, and they need to go ahead and listen to Jesus again and be convinced that there is a mission, and we need to go ahead and serve God, and so there's some greater works ahead for them to do. Unfortunately, you're not going to reach everybody in your Sunday school class. You can go ahead and try and pray and work for them. You're not going to reach everybody in a youth group. You're not going to reach everybody in a bus route. You're not going to, your core group is the ones that will go off and they'll please you. The ones that you get to go ahead and work with and pray over and different things. And by the way, you want to get some of these people over here? Okay, you want to get some of these people over here and become part of the core, if you will. Okay, you go ahead and you go up to them and say, hey, do you have a prayer request? Could I pray for you? That'll go a long ways. You go to a church member that maybe is kind of in and out or maybe indifferent. You go to them. You go to them and you ask them, hey, man, it's good to, you tell them, first of all, boy, it's good to have you in church today. Hey, could I pray for you? You have a prayer request? Let me tell you something. You know, a lot of these people over here, all they need to know is that someone cares. That's really all they need to know. All they really need to know is that someone really, really loves them. Because you know what? You know why they're over here? Because something or maybe someone has hurt them. Something has gone ahead and hurt these people. And they really, I believe this all my heart, soul, and might. These people over here, the indifferent crowd, they really do want what these kids have or this group has. They really, really do. But as a leader, okay, let me say this. You won't get them all, but as a leader, you got to sit down and try to figure out what can I do to try to reach their heart. You got to try to look at them and say, what can I do to try to reach their heart? And boy, you go to that person and you ask them, hey, can I pray for you? You have a need that I can pray for. You let them know that you love them. Let me tell you something. That will bring a lot. You know, I'm using a lot of personal illustrations tonight, but it's okay here. When I was youth pastor, I'm going back to that a lot because I've had that experience there, and it kind of fits what I'm trying to teach tonight. When I went ahead and built this youth group here, okay, I'm not the most able guy in the world. Okay, I felt, you know, truth of the matter is, to be a youth pastor, when I thought of a youth pastor, okay, even when I was out of college, and I was a little more fit than I am now, all right, the ministry's treated me very well over the years, by the way. But some of you are shaking your amen, Pastor. I know, okay, all right. I saw that, but that's okay. But the truth of the matter is, listen, the truth of the matter is, I was never an athlete, really. I mean, I was, you know, you put me out on a basketball court, I'm kind of the, you know, I don't have the form. I don't have it. Even when I was a little even more fit, if you will, I just never was. And so when I thought of a youth pastor, you know, I talked to preacher, and when he said, man, I'd like to hire you on as a youth pastor and different things like this, I was thinking, the youth pastor? What do I have in common with all these teenagers? Teenagers today, they like to run. They like to play. They like to shoot hoops. They like to do this. They like to do that, whatever the case may be. I thought, man, I'm not really the most greatest athlete in the world. But let me just stop and say this. It didn't matter. It didn't matter to me. You know what? There's not a one teenager through all the years. I promise you this. I promise you. They would say that, yeah, they would agree. Pastor Weeks really wasn't great on the basketball court. Though I'd play and get laughed at, and that's fine. It didn't bother me none. I had fun, and we had fun. But the truth of the matter is, they say, but you know what? I promise you this. Most of them would go ahead and say, but you, there was no doubt that that man loved me. Most of them. I talked to some just a couple weeks ago that went through my youth group out to First Baptist. They were in college, several of them out there. But you know what? Some of them were just saying, you know what, Pastor? Because they knew I'm in a different spot, in a different location, different ministry now. But they said, you know, Pastor, I want to thank you for your investment in me. And, you know, I never once doubted that you didn't care about me. You know what? Love will go a long ways. You don't have to think, you know, you may think, well, I've got to be more able. I've got to have all these talents. I got to have. No, you don't. You just go ahead and you learn to love and you go ahead and grow that class. You go ahead and you learn to love and you grow that church. You go ahead and you learn to love, you'll grow that youth group. You go ahead and you learn to love, you will grow that bus route. You know what? Basically, you know, your people are a bunch of, are several people that have hearts that have been hurt, and all they want is somebody to go ahead and forget about themselves. And generally, you have to, leader. You have to forget about yourselves, man. I mean, come Sunday morning, you go to that class, and you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. I know you do. I know it. You got the weight, you know, you've got more month, you face more month than money, you face this, you face this, you face this, you may even be sicker than a dog, but the truth of the matter is, oftentimes a leader, okay, oftentimes, and I appreciate that, but I appreciate this when I see this, oftentimes a leader has to go ahead and get over and above that, you know what, and say, I got to be on the job because my class or my people need me. And oftentimes, and I'm not saying, you know, work yourself ragged and come in so sick and different things, but the truth of the matter is you got to almost forget or put some of them things on a shelf and say, you know what, it's not about me right now. You know what, I'll deal with that later, and I got to go ahead and deal with the people that need me. You know what, you want to build something for God, you just go ahead and learn how to love. You just learn how to love. Hey, you know what, Jesus, he built things on love. And of course, he went to the cross. Why? Because of love. Let's see here. I'm kind of got ahead of, okay, let me just, I got ahead of myself here. Why is it though? Okay, you say, Pastor, why is it? Why is it that some don't choose to follow? Okay? Mainly it's because of peer pressure. You know, some people will not go ahead and choose to follow a leader or a godly leader because of peer pressure. You get young people or even adults today. Well, I can't go to church down there because people at work will make fun of me. You know, and the truth of the matter is you're trying to work with baby Christians, or you're trying to work with people, they don't know how to handle criticism, so their first thought is, you know what, I can't do this. I can't go to church. I can't go ahead and do this, you know. And a lot of reasons why people will not go ahead and follow God or follow God's man or follow some Sunday school teacher is because they get criticized for doing right, and it makes it hard for them to do right. And that's where godly leaders now, okay, we're trying to build leaders here tonight, okay, but that's where godly leaders must step up and assure them that they, okay, as we've been talking about, that they are praying for them and that they love them, and that's where godly leaders must stay in this book and be ready for when they get criticized, and you must go ahead and teach them how to handle the criticism. You know, bottom line, it just comes down to love. You know, people will not follow, and people will not stay in church, or people oftentimes won't stay in a Sunday school class simply because of peer pressure. Teenagers, I've seen it before through my years as a youth pastor, they necessarily won't stay faithful to church. They got saved. They know what is right, but the truth of the matter is they don't want to step out on faith and go to church every Sunday because of the peer pressure that they may get maybe at home, or by family, or by their so-called friends. Let me just say this. If you got people making fun of you because you want to do right, you know what? You might want to reconsider who you hang around. You might very well want to reconsider who you hang around. If they make fun of you because you read the Bible, and it doesn't matter who we are in this room tonight, they make fun of you because you read the Bible, because you pray, because you go to church, because of this or that or whatever else, you know what? You might want to think, okay, you know what? This crowd is not for me. you know what? You ought to just hang with them leaders that love you in your Sunday school class, or that preacher who loves you down there at church, or that youth leader who loves you. You just better go ahead and build your life around God and them godly leaders, because they are the ones that will help carry you through that peer pressure. Now listen, peer pressure is that big reason why people will not go ahead and serve God faithfully, especially when they're young Christians. Hey, another reason, I got to move forward here. My time's going away here so fast, but that's okay. I'll move and we'll land this thing. Another reason is the lust of the flesh and improper appetites, which is more appealing than future potential. Here's what a teacher does. Here's what a leader does. You're teaching your kids, you're teaching your adults, you're teaching new Christians, or whatever the case may be. You want to go ahead and point them to a bigger and better future. You want to say, you know what, boy, you go ahead and serve God, you read the Bible, and by the way, leader, by the way, teacher, you know, get up excited. Don't come walking into your pulpit or your podium. Well, okay, take your Bibles. You know, that wouldn't really work for me here. You know, if I went ahead and every Sunday and every Wednesday, okay, and I think you can say amen to this, if I came in very just, okay, open your Bibles, you know, turn to Psalms. Okay, in the beginning. Oh, no, that's not it. You know what? You see what I'm saying? If I came in with that kind of spirit, you know what? It wouldn't last long, man. And a leader, you need to go ahead and go in with excitement. And you need to go ahead and your excitement will help convince your followers now. We talked about that goal. Will help convince your followers to follow you. And you need to get there, and then you need to say, you know what? Boy, God's got something great for you. Boy, you keep on sticking with this class. You keep on sticking with this bus route. You keep on following sticking with this church or all this, the whole scores of things. You keep on reading that Bible. Boy, God's going to use you. Boy, a leader sees the potential in their followers. And boy, God's going to go ahead and use you. God's going to go ahead and do some great things with you. And then, but if we're not careful, and what happens sometimes in some of your followers, this is one of the reasons why they choose not to follow or choose not to go any further, because they get blinded by that future potential simply because of the lust of the flesh or some other improper appetite. You know, here is a leader teaching their followers to do right and just loving them and praying for them, and you know, whether it be a parent. Okay, we love our kids and we pray for them and we see big things for God for them, and that's what we desire, whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be all a host of people. But here's a leader teaching their followers to do right, teaching them that God wants to use them greatly, telling that if you stick with God, God will use you mightily. But what happens oftentimes is their flesh starts getting hungry. Okay, they start kind of listening, if you will, to the flesh. We talked about this, but Galatians, I'll turn over there a minute. I'll just read a couple verses. This I say then, chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That was our lesson a few weeks ago. But here in verse number 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so we talked about this. The flesh, okay, will go ahead and war against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's always a fight going on. And the truth of the matter is, as a leader, and you need to do everything you can to try to go ahead and combat or help your followers combat the flesh. Give them the word of God. Write to them throughout the week. Give them a call throughout the week. You see, if you've been saved a little while, you know, you've got some knowledge there and you've got some know-how there how to go ahead and combat the devil, but you know your followers don't. Them teenagers that you lead don't. Them bus kids that you lead don't necessarily know, and that's why it's so important that in your own quietness of your time, you ought to write out the list of people. You know, on my prayer list, I've got my church. I've got you on my prayer list. Okay, I've got you all on my prayer list in there, and I pray for you. Okay, and I did it the same with my teenagers and different things, because you know what? As a pastor, I mean, I've lived a little while. I've not arrived by any means, and I can fall, and I know I can. But the truth of the matter is, I have a little bit more knowledge as to how to combat the devil, if you will. And those of us who's been around a while, we have a little bit more knowledge, but they don't. So that's why it's so very important that you ought to be praying for your followers throughout the week, every day. You ought to go ahead and get their numbers and call them, call certain people, say, hey, you know what, I'm praying for you. You need anything? And you ought to be ready because, you know what, when they get out in the world, you have them for a couple hours on Sunday, and then come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, man, the devil's got the whole week with them. And that's why you better do everything you can as their leader, okay, to go ahead and help them combat the fleshly appetites or appetites that will go ahead and drag them down. I'm belaboring this point, but we need some leaders that will just help and love and You know, Jesus, you know, I got to land this thing. But Jesus, you know, he had to go ahead and convince. You know, here in chapter 14, we read, and I didn't get all to what I wanted to go for here. But, you know, there were some troubled disciples. Jesus was going to go ahead and die. And all this, and they were hurting, and, you know, Jesus had just mentioned that someone's going to go ahead and betray him. Jesus had just gone ahead and mentioned to them that Peter's going to go ahead and betray, and all this. Their heart was troubled. Their heart was hurting. So Jesus, of course, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you know what, disciples, everything's going to be okay. Okay, you need to just go ahead and realize down in verse number 12, you know what, there's some greater works. There's some bigger things that you need to do. I must go ahead and fulfill my job. This is a task that my Father God wants me to do. But you know what? Hey, there's still souls to be saved. There's still followers to be led, if you will. There's still a church to build, disciples. There's many, many different things for you to do. Don't go ahead and quit because of this. You just keep on going. What I'm trying to say tonight, and I didn't even get through half of this, we need to go ahead and just love our followers. You know, God will give you that core. And by the way, it generally starts with just a small core. Okay, because over here is not the popular thing. It really isn't. Okay, take a poll today. Serving Jesus isn't really number one on everybody's list. Should be. It should be on our list. Amen. If we're sitting here tonight, it ought to be on our list. Okay? The truth of the matter is, but you know what? When you build a class or you build a youth group or you build a bus route or you build a church, or it doesn't matter what you build for God, you know what? Generally, you got to just work with that core. And people will come and go, and some will go ahead and sit on the sidelines and kind of watch in what's going on in there. They'll see the joy that they have. They'll see the peace that they have. They'll see the leadership and the love that's going on. But let me just say this. You as a leader, don't forget about that. Yes, work. These are the ones that will go off and do some great things. But we must not forget about these. But you know what? Generally, you go ahead, as you showed love to these guys and gals, you show love to these people, say, you know what? You're still welcome. You know, I love you. Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, you have a need that you need prayed for. And let me tell you something. By experience, I've seen this. It has really done a tremendous thing in building some ministry. It's done it just that one little word, love. Boy, we just need to, you know, leaders, boy, love that. Love them bus kids. You know, when the bus kids got up, when I was running a bus myself up in Maine, I started that route, and boy, we had a good crowd of kids on that. We averaged about 35, 40 every Sunday. But you know, and I just by practice, I'd go ahead and I just every week as they got off, I went ahead and I shook their hand. If it was a guy, I'd go ahead and just put my, you know, my hand on the shoulder just like that and say, hey, you know, you do right this week, bud. Okay, Brother Sean, I will. You do right. You know, all the girl, I'd shake the hands of the, hey, you do right this week. Okay, Brother Sean, I'll go ahead and do right. You know what? And they need to, you know what? Up until the very last moment that I had with them for the week, man, I wanted to go ahead and do everything I could to minister to them and let them know I love them. Well, you love them bus kids. You love, and we're always going to love bus kids here. You say, well, preacher, they'll tear up the carpet. Well, so what? We can just put new carpet in when it's time. But you love them bus kids. You love that Sunday school class. You love the people in your church. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, I believe very strong. Yes, I need to preach and be in season, out of season. I need to exhort and even rebuke at times. Obviously, that's what the Bible says. But you know what? We ought to be a loving church. If we're going to grow, we need to love. You know, I can stutter and stammer through my words. You've heard some of it. I'm not the most eloquent guy in the world, but you know what? I will love. I will love. Okay, I might always, you know, not always know even what direction I'm going at times, but the truth of the matter is, I will love. And let me tell you something, that'll go a long ways. Now, Heavenly Father, I know we just scratched the surface on this particular lesson tonight, but I think it was needed. A lot of personal illustration, Lord, but I believe you used it. I pray, God, that you would help us all. In some way or another, we're all leaders here. If we have a little sibling, if we're 5 years old and we still have a little sibling in the house, we're still a little leader. Whether it be just a young child or a teenager, an adult tonight, I pray, God, that as a leader, we'll just learn that one thing, love, that one characteristic, that's love. I pray, God, that we'll love the people that you've allowed us to oversee, that Sunday school class. I pray, God, that my capacity to love as a pastor will grow even more than it is today. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just bless. I pray, God, that as we look to the future of our church, that we won't get bogged down in just the past victories or even present victories, but that we just keep on pushing forward and looking for better and bigger days. But I pray that our church will always be known as one that loves. Just love people. Irregardless of the response that we get, we're just going to keep loving. I pray, God, that we'll build stronger leaders, stronger parents, stronger youth directors, stronger Sunday school teachers. Just build stronger leaders, period. I pray, God, that you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand on our feet. Just have a short invitation. The music's going to go ahead and play. Maybe God spoke to you. I don't know whatever area. Just come forward. Won't you make a decision tonight?